good. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. Thank you so much there, Brother Andy. And I tell you what, I'm even going to let you practice with this book right here while you... Thank you, Brother. Thank you so much. You know, I am thankful that God has supplied us with talent and sharing together. Whatever God gives you, use it. That's what He wants us to do. Whatever God gives you, use it in a very special way. And today we're going to be looking at the have and the have-nots. Now, you've heard that all your life, haven't you? I know I can speak from the have-nots, but what about those that are have? The have and the have-nots. Well, we're going to go a little bit deeper with that. We're going to begin to think about how to have the much more life. That's stating it in a more positive way. How to have a much more life. Now, do you like stories? I tell you what, I know you like stories. Because last Wednesday night during the Romans Bible study, I asked the group, I said, what did we preach on 2 weeks ago? I said, y'all can tell me now. And they said the same thing you just said. But he said the unpardonable sin, right? Other than that, that's as far as we got. So the thing is, you know, people like stories. Jesus taught with stories. In fact, why don't we just, we'll read this story. Let's just listen to it from the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13, we're going to begin with verse 1. It says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the sea, and great multitudes gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat there, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. How would y'all like to stand on the shore for hours listening to the Lord Jesus and trying just to, as intently as you could hear, trying to listen and understand what Jesus was saying? Well, then he spoke many things to them in parables. And then let me just paraphrase this for you, okay? Here we go, and then you can read it for yourself in the moment. There's this guy, he was a farmer. And this farmer said, you know, today's the day to go out and sow the seed. So he got him a bucket. Maybe it was wheat. And he started broadcasting the seed. And, you know, up and down the road. Y'all can see that, can't you? I mean, a man broadcasting seed. Okay, we're farmers. We're from a rural community. We know what it means to have a garden. Well, he was just throwing out the seed. Well, he got close to the fence and some of the seed went across the fence and the beaten path. You know, people walk outside the fence and some of the seed fell out there. He kept on sowing it. And some of the seed fell over here on stony ground. And on that stony ground, some of the seed there, I tell you, it was warm there and it came up real quick. But when the sun came up, it died. And then there was some other seed that he threw over there, and it went where the thorns were located, and thorns started growing up. And all of a sudden, the thorns got bigger and bigger, and the life was just choked out of it. But some of the seed that he was broadcasting, it fell on good ground. And I mean, a few months later, it came up like crazy. There was some produced 30-fold, some 60. Man, some 100 bushels an acre. Or 100-fold. I shouldn't say bushels. But 100-fold. And that was so neat. And then he was quiet. Okay, I'm going to ask you, well, what does that mean? Let's put somebody on the spot. What does that mean? If I were to put you on the spot, I'm not going to do it yet, but if I were to put you on the spot and I said, well, what does that mean? You heard Jesus speak, and that's all he did was tell stories. And did you get anything out of that? What does it mean to you? I said, Mr. Walter, what does that story mean to you? Okay, be careful what you say. All right, that's what he heard. Let me tell you another story. This story happened to me when I was about Landon's age. We were down in Andalusia, Florida. And in Andalusia, Florida, we went out to a little fish pond there. It was my uncle's fish pond. And when we got out there we were standing on, we drove up and there was this woman. She was on the bank and she was crying her heart out. She was just weeping her eyes out. And my dad said to her, what's wrong? And she pointed out there in the lake. And her husband had turned over in the boat out there. But now, she said, I told him not to get in the boat, but he did it anyway. But what you don't realize is the man had braces on his legs. He was handicapped And he turned over out in the lake, and she thought he was going to drown. Well, my dad jumped into the lake, and he swam out there to where the man was located and steadied him along the edge of the boat so that he would not drown. And as he steadied there, then we had to get him to the bank, and so we had no other boats. So I took my fishing line with my worm on it. I was going fishing, you know what I mean? And I throw that line out there, that old worm on it, and I hooked my dad. I mean, he grabbed it, and I literally did hook him. But anyhow, we were going to try to see if we could ease that boat in with that fishing line, and it wouldn't work. And so they had to send out, some other guys came up there, and they went out and they got a rope. They went back and got a rope, and they took the rope out there where the boat was, and the guy hung on to the boat, and they eased the man into the shore, and he was saved. My dad always said, you know, I wonder what it would be. I always wondered what it would be like to have my name in the papers. And sure enough, in the papers, somebody wrote up a little article about how that several men helped save this man. You know, that was pretty neat. But the neat thing about it is, it was one thing to know, have your name in the papers about saving somebody, but today, my dad knows that his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's a whole lot better that he's in heaven with Jesus. In the Lamb's Book of Life, his name is written in there. Well, stories. You like stories? You want me to tell you another one? I will in a few minutes. Okay, but as we think about this and begin to look at this, we want to understand, what is God saying? Jesus spoke to the people in parables, and you may ask yourself the question, why in the world did Jesus speak in stories? Why did he speak in parables? Well, let's just pick it up with verse 10. We're in chapter 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because you have been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them that have not, but them have not given. For whosoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing, and you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their feet and turn, so that I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you've heard and did not hear it.'" Why did he speak in parables? Because it's given unto certain people understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And that's what he's talking about here. Do you understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Okay, here it is. Let's see if you remember the story. What kind of soil? Where were the seeds sown? Does anybody remember? Help me out here. Where were the seeds sown? On the field, yeah. And the thorns and on the rocks and a wayside. That's where the beaten paths where people are walking in. And some in the good, right? Man, I'm going to ask you that on Wednesday night 2 weeks from now and see how many of y'all remember that. You'll remember the story, okay? You will remember the story. And that's one reason why Jesus spoke with stories, because you're going to remember that. But what was he talking about? He was talking about the kingdom of heaven. You see, Jesus came to his own, according to John 1:11. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But wait a minute. He says, "But to them who had, even without which they had, is going to be taken away." Now, that don't sound right, but it's true. It's true. You see, verse 12 says, "For whosoever shall have, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance." And that's where we come up with the idea, much more life. "But whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken, even that which he has." Now, the point is this. The normal Christian life is for you to have more. Now, when I start talking about more, I'm not talking about possessions. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about getting along with people. I'm talking about being an encourager, not being a discourager. I'm talking about knowing the Lord. The normal Christian life is to have and receive more. But what happened to these people? Jesus gave us eyes to do what? To see God. Jesus gave us ears to do what? To hear God. Jesus gave us what? A mouth to speak unto God. Jesus gave us mind. God gave us a mind to comprehend and to praise Him. But what happens so many times is that we take our eyes and we turn away from the kingdom and we don't even know what's going on. Our ears get kind of clogged up with wax. Y'all's ears ever do that? You know, you stick your finger in there. And do your ears ever get clogged up with wax? That's what happens, and sometimes you got to get your ears kind of cleaned out so you can hear. Your eyes close. Your mind gets clouded. That's what happens, and then people cannot become fruitful, and many people won't even be able to be saved, and that's the reason why he says right here, in verse 14, he says, "But hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive, for the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." How many times have we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? 1, 10,000? I don't know. How many times have you heard Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, did good, healed the sick, raised the dead, caused the blind to see? How many times have you heard that Jesus died for your sins and that He was on the cross, He suffered for all of our sins? How many times have we heard that Jesus died for all of our sins, for all my sins, for all your sins? How many times have we heard that and He was buried in a grave and He rose the third day and Jesus Christ will come into your life and save you? How many times have we heard that? Many times. Because you see, right now this morning, you too can come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You too can come into a presence of God Almighty and live with Him. You can experience the presence of Almighty God. Because what He wants you to do, He wants you to open your eyes to the cross and see what Jesus Christ did for you. He wants you to open your ears to the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He wants you to respond to the Holy Spirit who convicts your heart. He wants you to be saved, be converted, and then He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be made whole so that when you walk out of here, you are totally healed, you're totally whole. And then when God speaks to you about the kingdom of heaven, you're going to say, understand. And all of a sudden, your life begins to grow deeper and deeper and deeper. You see, the problem here, and I use the word the have-nots to kind of keep it in focus, is that all of us has something like an antenna that receives signals. So the believer can comprehend the message from God. I could do it like this. Can you hear me now? Okay, y'all know what I mean. I mean, you get at my house or you get in some areas in this church and I get my old phone out. Man, that little thing going, it's all like the antenna. Can you hear me now? I sometimes think that's the way it is with God. God says, can you hear me now? And it's not that He's not speaking and the signal's not going out. I think it's our antenna. Something's wrong. Something's clouding it out. We're not hearing that, receiving that. And what happens then, our comprehension gets messed up. Because here's what Satan seeks to do. Satan seeks to steal. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come in. And look, many of you have heard the truth, but what Satan wants to do is come in real quick, and he wants to grab it and snatch it out of the way and say, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to think about that. Satan will come in and give you a dozen reasons why you can forget that one. Oh, you don't have to think about that. Just forget. I mean, Satan will come in so that you don't hear. If you hear the truth, you don't perceive it. If you don't hear, you just block it out. Satan can block it out right now. Some of you are playing some mind games. You really are. And you wonder, why am I playing the mind game? I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to hear what he has to say. I'm trying to hear what God's saying. Why can't you hear? And I'll give you a reason why. Satan. Satan will come along in there, and he'll bring up the ball game, and you'll think about that. He'll bring up, you got to cook dinner, and he'll think about that. You can bring about the kids, what we're going to do this afternoon. You can bring about what time's he going to sit down and shut up. You can think about a dozen things, and Satan will come along, and he'll just pop it, pow, 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 pow. That's what he does. That's what he does for a living. And all of a sudden, you heard it, but you can't translate it. And then when you walk out the door, you say, well, okay, another day, another day. Well, then the second element about that is compliance. Because you see, in compliance, the sin hardens the heart. So many times what we do during the week affects us so much on Sunday that we can't even hear what God's trying to say to us. Because sin hardens the heart. It waxes, it grows. They don't want to listen. Their eyes are closed. They don't want to see. And then in conversion, because you see, when you're converted, truth brings about change. If they open their eyes to the kingdom of heaven and see the truth of God's word and understand the grace of God's word, they're going to be converted. And when they're converted, they're going to be made whole. Wow. You've got information right here. It's 4,000 years old. It's just as good today as the day it was spoken. It's just as powerful today as the day it was spoken. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Why do people back off from this? Because you see, in many houses, the Bible is there, but if you'll notice, real close, if you'll notice, there's a little bit of dust on it. Okay? Once a week, we dust it off and we bring it to church. But then all of a sudden, where that little Bible was there, you know what? If I spend a little bit of time with God today, praying and reading, well, what else happens? Praying? Or seeking God to help me today? Or how am I going to, or teach the children, or do my job, or communicate with my husband, wife, friend? Here's the answer. Here's the answer. But I got to ask you a question. Do you spend time with it every day? Now, you can miss a day here and there. No big deal. But a part of your life, do you spend time with it? Every day. Every day. Well, I want to be fruitful, but I don't spend time with it. Every day. Let me give you a for instance here. Do y'all ever get fired up over politics? Okay, folks in children's, in celebrating children, one of my assignments for teaching the children today was to tell about Moses' father-in-law and what he told Moses to do. That was my assignment. Folks, I got fired up. I didn't get to speak it this morning, but I got fired up. And the reason why I got so fired up, because I got in God's Word, and all of a sudden God's Word said, bingo, here it is, big boy. And you know what I came up with? The declaration of what? Wrong. The declaration of dependence. You were real close, brother. 400 years ago, we had, 300 years ago, exactly how many years? Actually, 233 years ago, we had the Declaration of Independence. Isn't that neat? But you know what? We could literally change America if we would have the Declaration of Dependence. And it would start today. And now the background behind this is Moses, man, he was leading 1.5 million people, backsliders you wouldn't believe, griping, grumbling, murmuring, complaining. 10 times they tested the Lord. But he was still leading them. Moses got them out in the wilderness, and his job, every day he'd come in, and the people would come before him, and he was kind of like a judge, and he'd tell them right and wrong how to live with God, what God says about this. From the starting of the sun to the setting of the sun, I mean, the people would stand all day, wore out. He was getting wore out. And his father-in-law, Jethro, says, "Look, Moses, that's not good. Listen, if you'll listen to me, you'll just consider." He didn't tell him what to do. He was smart. He didn't tell him what to do, but he said, "You consider this." And he says, "If you'll do this, then you'll be happier and the people will be happier and everybody get along better." And he says, "What you do is you go out and you find men, and there's 4 things I want them to be. Number 1, able. Men that are able." Okay? Now that sounds pretty good. Able means men who are equipped to do the job. Number 2, men that fear God. Because fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Number 3, he says, men who are honest. Tell the truth. I told my brother about this. We were having supper the other night. I said, men who tell the truth. He said, "You just blew it right there, buddy." I mean, because you know people who tell the truth. And then number 4 is people who hate bribes. Whoa! Would that clean up America? You know what? Every time we have somebody that wants to stand for a public office, we ought to ask them these 4 principles right here. We ought to study, are they able to make a decision and make a good decision? Do they what? Are they able? Do they fear God? And I'm talking about the Lord God Jehovah. I'm not talking about these isms and Allahs or anything else that goes along with that. I'm talking about the Lord God Jehovah. Do they fear Him? If they don't fear Him, listen, folks, they don't need to be in our court system. Do they fear God? Do they fear the Lord? Are they honest? Are they honest? Do they hate covetousness, bribes? I wonder if we would have a man that would have the guts enough to say, if somebody wants to give me goods or privilege for influence, I will reject it. You know any politician like that? Hey, let's start a declaration of dependence in America. And I believe it can start right here. Right here. But when we do it, let's ask ourselves, are we able? Do we fear God? Are we honest? Do we hate bribes, covetousness? And the answer should be yes. And so therefore, we want men and women to lead our country that will meet these qualifications. Well, you see, now we can bring this up. Listen, folks, anybody that says we're going to get God out of government, we ought to get them out. Anybody that says they want to get God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, we ought to get them out. And any judge that wants to listen to that, we ought to get that judge out. That ought to not be brought up on the dockets. We can change America. We can change. And that's just biblical. Okay. All right. We're going to finish up because we're going to talk about the parable. Do y'all remember the story? If I ask, where was the seed sown? Wayside, and there you go. And the prosperous side. Good. Y'all got it. Okay. I love it when a plan comes together. Y'all memorize that. Y'all got it down. So it's all part of you now. You got it. Because here's the meaning of the parable. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ is the sower of the seed. He comes along and he sows the seed. And some of the seed fell on this hard beaten path. And Satan is the one who comes along. He represents the birds. He's a buzzard. He comes along and he gets all of the seeds on that seed. Satan comes along and does steal what was there. And we let him do it. The second thing that happens, we see as it begins to develop right here, not only does Satan come along, but I'm going to break it up in a little different fashion right here. I'm going to use the word on the wayside, that the word can be stolen if the soil's not good. If the soil's good, folks, Satan's not going to get it, because you're going to put down roots and it's going to be there. Subtraction. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to subtract. And what you're going to do, you're going to end up seedless. And then we're going to look at four public enemies here in a minute. But the scripture says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Matthew 7:13. So therefore, what we're saying is, on this broad path, the word's being sown, Satan is just robbing it just as fast as it falls. That's the wayside. The second thing is the roadside. The roadside, now when we begin to think about this, you got to imagine here's a bedrock, and on top of that bedrock, there's a little bit of dirt right there, just enough for the seed to go in. The rock's warm. The seed is warm. It begins to sprout in just a matter of time. It jumps up quick. The sun beams down, and all of a sudden, that seed begins to wilt, and it dies. What's the meaning behind that? On the roadside, strong roots are required to meet the pressures. Because see, here's what happens. Many people wimp out because of the word. You know, the words, they take the word, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then you add a little bit of pressure there, a little bit of heat, because you got to stand up for what you believe in, and they wimp out. And they shrivel up. And there's gone, and there's no fruit. Oh, you can say, well, they were in church. Yeah, they were in church. They were shouting hallelujah. Absolutely. But when the pressure came down on them, what happened? Whew. They shriveled up. The first group ends up seedless. The second group ends up spineless because of a weak commitment. Jesus said this, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9:62. In other words, what Jesus Christ is telling us is that when you grab hold to the plow, folks, you got to keep your eyes set for the goal. If you look back into the ways of the world, you're not even fit. You're not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. You got to stay focused. And then there's the thorn side. And what happens here is balance is lost when focus is cluttered. I call this the addition factor. The addition factor is when we're deceived in many different ways. How many of y'all got bills to pay? How many of y'all are worried that there's more month at the end of the paycheck? How many of us maybe worry about our jobs, about our car, about our kids, about our families, and all of a sudden we put all this stuff, and if I'm in school, it's my test, it's my peer group, it's being in the in crowd, it's being in the out crowd, it's looking, you know, all of a sudden all these pressures, this is called the cares of the world. And you know what the cares of the world will do to your life? Grab you by the nape of the neck and you won't even be able to live. You just get choked. And then there's another one in this same thing it says, and those that they are deceived by riches. The deceitfulness of riches. People think, well, if I take, I know Dave Ramsey says you take two or three jobs and you can get out of debt. Listen, folks, I'd rather you be walking with Jesus than out of debt, okay? And many times, though, people would get deceived by the deceitfulness of riches. And all of a sudden, life is choked out of them. It happens. I call this the addition. We get more on our plate than we can stand. And it's almost like we just go into a dull zone. The thorn side. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The thorn side. Is there balance? That's what happens in many marriages. It gets out of balance. It's not that two people don't love, but it gets out of balance. And then all of a sudden their life just gets choked out. The last side is the prosperous side. I call this the multiplication factor. Multiplication of fruit proves faith. Multiplication is prosperous. Multiplication ends up with salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Amazing. Amazing. God says the normal Christian life is to produce fruit. That's it. If you're not producing fruit, then something's wrong with the soil. Well, okay. Do you remember the story? Y'all remember the story? What happens when the seed falls on the hard beaten path on the wayside? What happens there? What does Satan do? He comes along and gets the seed out, right? It does. Now, what happens when the seed falls on stony ground and it sprouts up real quick and the sun beats down on it and it shrivels up because of the pressure of the word? What happens? Yeah. What happens when the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches get on you so thick and you lose your balance? Do you get choked down? But what happens when the seed, God's Word, falls on a heart that's open, that's good ground? What happens? It produces fruit. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a neat story? Isn't that a neat story? Can you tell somebody that story now? Good. You can do it. You can do it. Some of you, and I'm going to use an analogy, and I don't want to go any further than this, okay? Some of you are so close, you can almost smell the mysteries being unfolded. The kingdom of heaven. God is just going to open up your eyes, your ears. You're going to see, you're going to feel, you're going to experience. But some of you can be so close, 4 inches away from getting in the end zone. I watched Mississippi State get 4 inches away from having victory over LSU. 4 inches. But the opposing force stopped them. I wonder how close some of us are to a new world opening up and seeing the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Just right there before our eyes, so that when we hear a story, we say, "Oh, that's God's Word. That talks about Satan. Yeah, that's what that's doing. Oh, that's God's Word. That's talking about when Christians get under pressure that they don't give up. Oh, yeah, that's God's Word, that we're not going to allow the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke us out. That's God's Word, and we're going to open up our heart, and that's going to produce fruit. That's God's Word." What about you today? How close are you to the Word just coming wide open? My wife walked in this morning and she said, "Do you want to be encouraged this morning?" And I said, "Sure, honey, encourage me." And you know what she did? She brought out her iPhone. I guess it's an iPhone, whatever it is. And she's got Facebook on it. And on her iPhone and on Facebook, there was a message that said, "Is it Wednesday night yet?" That's encouraging, folks. The Word, is it Wednesday night yet? God wants to open up your eyes, your ears, your mind for excitement. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants to grow fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Wow. What do you have to do? Prepare the soil. He's the seed. He sends the water. He sends the sunshine. All we do is prepare the soil. He brings the increase. Father, as we come before you this morning, we're so thankful in what Jesus Christ has done for us. And I thank you for the stories that you have told. And Father, how there's so much meaning for us today that we can look at the devil in the eye and spit in his eye and say, look, you get out of here. I want the word. We can stand the test when the pressure gets on us because we got deep roots. We've been studying God's word and praying and worshiping God. We got deep roots. Father, we're not going to allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to drag us down and choke the light out of us, life out of us. Lord, it's all you. Our heart now is open to receive what you have for us. And I give you my body as an instrument. As an instrument, Lord, for righteousness, to doing good. Father, I pray for those who are 4 inches away this morning from opening up their heart and their life to receive, oh, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I pray, God, they'll cross the line. I pray right now, Lord, they'll accept Christ. And I pray those, Lord, who believers who've been choked out, knocked down, kicked on, stepped on, lied to by Satan, I pray right now, God, they're going to be set free. They're set free because they have now converted. They've opened up their eyes. They've opened up their ears. They've wiped away the wax off their heart so that they can feel and sense. And now, God, they want your Holy Spirit to move on them in a mighty way. Lord, bring forth your fruit now in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to give you a moment. We're going to sing a song called I Surrender All. And during that time, some of you, maybe the prayer altars is where you want to hit. Some of you may want to cross the line and say, Robert, I want Jesus. Some of you might say, look, I've been struggling. Now I want freedom. I want freedom. You can have it today. That's normal. That's normal. That's what Christ has to offer. He'll tell you the story, and then he'll give you the meaning behind it. That's what he does in his word. What about you this morning? Would you like to surrender your all to Jesus Christ? Give your life to Jesus? Come talk with me. Pray. We've got Jim's ready to pray with people. Wanda's ready to pray with our ladies. She'll be glad to. Donna will. I mean, we're ready. What does God want you to do today? What's your soul like today? Let's stand together, okay, and sing as people make decisions.
So, just as I am, number 488.
Yeah.
God bless you this